We Are SC podcast. Gary Pasquitz joined by Johnny Curran and Greg Katz. And guys, are recording this after the Monday practice, an abbreviated session for the Trojans, about an hour-long practice. But we've seen 1 week of fall camp for the Trojans. We've seen them in pads now, had a chance to see them on Saturday. So want to kind of go around and ask just to throw out a topic for each of us on what stands out through the first week. And I'm going to get us started by looking at the tailback spot on what's going on right now. We knew coming into camp that this was going to be a very deep and very good group. But really, we're seeing that proven out through the first week. I think Ronald Jones, I'm really impressed with where he is at in his growth, both as a player and where he's at as a leader's a vocal guy. Kind of, you know, he was very shy as a freshman, so seeing him coming into his own, coming out of his skin, I like that. He's ready to be the guy for the Trojans. But what we saw on Saturday, guys, is I really want to talk about Stephen Carr right here and talk about where this guy has come in and the thought of where can he fit in the pecking order of this running back rotation. I don't think we know that yet. But what he showed on Saturday, he had 3 touchdowns run. One of them was called back. It showed every bit, Johnny, of that vision and the cutback running. It reminded me of, in terms of a first day in pads, when Reggie Bush, his first year as a Trojan, when he just came out of that first day and let everyone know, hey, here's what I am. That's what it kind of felt like with Carr. I love his toughness. I saw a little Justin Fargus out there, some Charles White. Johnny, just a very impressive first week for Stephen Carr.
Yeah, absolutely. And you never know how a player's explosiveness and, you know, speed is going to translate over from the high school level to college, because he was certainly saw him a few times in high school, and he was really impressive. But it seems like for this guy, from what we've seen so far, it really is translating over and really early. One other thing I think that maybe that I'm most impressed with him is not just his cutback ability, his speed, and how he's doing that, but also his pass catching ability, which we saw he was a real star on the 7-on-7 level, 7-on-7 circuit. And then also the way he's blocking, he's not afraid to put his nose in there. And a lot of running backs, it takes a few years to develop that. He seems like a guy who's really come in tailor-made to kind of do a little of everything.
And Greg, yeah, he's not a 230-pound guy, but he is a solid 200 pounds. So when you talk about a physical, tough guy, he really fits the mold so
far. You
know,
it's funny when you say that, because when I was for the column that I had on Sunday, I chose a picture of him, and I looked at him, and because I'm at the age that I'm at, I can remember when Charles White came in. And I looked at that, and I said, gee, if I could get that picture of Charles White and put it right next to him, they look the same. There's that sneer, there's that thick neck, there's that you ain't stopping me, boy. And you know what? He's so far beyond, you know, a lot of the running backs we've seen come in here. A lot of them are good. They get better. But this guy is ready to go. I think that I don't know who's going to sit. I just know that he's not going to be one of them. And I don't know if, you know, it's a wonderful problem to have. But if he does what he did on Saturday, and he does it again in the following scrimmages, the mock scrimmage, this guy's going to play, and the people in the Coliseum are going to be on their feet.
Yeah, number 7, it's been quite an early statement for him, without a doubt. Johnny, go ahead and take us off to the next topic. What's standing out to you?
To me, probably the thing that stood out, one of the things that stood out most, is definitely the defense and just the speed that they're flying to the ball, but also the crispness and just the comfort level of all the players. And it's the second year in Clancy Pendergast's system, and Coach Helton keeps talking about it, and you can really see it. There's, you know, they're really flying to the ball. There's not a lot of breakdowns in coverages or anything like that. I think one of the keys to this whole thing has been also the younger guys who've been kind of waiting in the wings, really taking the next step in their development. In particular, John Houston at that Will inside linebacker spot looks really comfortable there and brings a lot of speed to that group. Also guys like Wole Batiku, Connor Murphy. Another thing is also just that the defensive front, all of a sudden the interior guys, there's a lot of size, a lot of youth, but a lot of size, but those guys can really move too, and a lot more depth than we've seen in recent years.
I thought it was good to hear Darrell Rodeau say that he thinks that linebacker position, you talked about John Houston, he sees that as the position that will be the most benefited in the second year in Clancy's system down in there. I think you look back at the secondary, Greg, and you talk about so many veteran guys back there. Really, you only lost to Dory in terms of that key group, and Jackie Jones is a natural candidate, along with Jamel Cook. Those two right there, it's going to be interesting. But when you see Hawkins and Tell back there at the safety spot, boy, those are a pair of veterans. Biggie looks every bit the veteran right now, and Ajayne Harris does too. I really like what we're seeing back there in the secondary.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why people are saying that, you know, the secondary might be a question because Adoree's gone. Now, don't get me wrong. Adoree's a shutdown. He's an All-American. You know, you're really going to have to – Biggie's going to have to live up to some big shoes. We got a lot of expectations on him. But the reality is in Hawkins and in Tell, these guys are so good. And I thought Clancy Pendergast, the defense coordinator, made a great comment when he said that Hawkins was like the consummate pro. Yeah. He's a gym rat. This guy has paid his price both in success and in some failures to keep adding to his game. And if Marshall – my only question about the secondary really is that one spot with Jack Jones. I mean, I don't, nobody questions his ability. Mm-hmm. But he's got to continue to improve because we all know that teams are going to first check him out before they check out Marshall. You know, when it's like third and seven – where are they going to go? And, you know, Jackie doesn't have to make the great play. He has to make the smart play. And hopefully that, you know, he'll be able to blend his natural ability into what he's being taught on the practice field.
I like that, you know, Clancy also mentioned, you know, talking about that maturity and what they're seeing over there with Jackie. Both Clancy and Coach are mentioning it. But you've got, like you say, you've got Jackie, you've got Jamel Cook right there. You've got to figure something is going to come out of that that is going to be pretty good. But to Johnny's point about the younger guys, you know, Jamel Cook and even Jackie to this point, Ikeely Ross, a C.J. Pollard. You know, there's a lot of guys kind of knocking on that door in the secondary. So you've got the nice starting group and then a good group coming in behind them looking for some playing time. Greg, let's go to your thought. What's jumping out to you?
Well, I'll tell you, I have been intrigued since training camp, the evolution of the tight end. As we know, that some years back, everybody was screaming, throw it to the tight end. Why don't you throw it to the tight end? And I always thought it was a combination of scheme, philosophy, coaching philosophy, and the quarterback who was quarterbacking at the time. We all know that in the past, SC quarterbacks, even you know, Cody Kessler, would lock on to one particular guy. I mean, the guy was great, be Marquise Lee or Robert Woods. But it seemed like the tight end became like, is he even there? And then there was a thought, do we even need him? And now look at what we have here. We've got an abundance of talent, and they are part of the strategy. Sam Darnold will throw it to him. He doesn't care who gets it. They know it. The only question right now is a combination of the talent against the injury status right now. And just to kind of go over the latest as of Monday, Daniel Mudiebube has a hip flexor. Tyler Petit, concussion protocol. Josh Rollo, the highly recruited freshman, knee issue. He has a sleeve there. And the ones that are healthy are Kerry Angeline and true freshman Eric Krominok. And, of course, Austin Appleby is there as well. The guys that are healthy are making statements. The guys who aren't healthy are really good. And Coach Helton is hoping by the mock game that these guys are ready to go. I think that the Trojans are in excellent shape. Petit has put on 20 pounds. I'm really excited to see how his blocking is going to be with the added weight. Not bad to have your roommate as Sam Darnold, by the way. So, but I think this tight end situation is really going to pay dividends as the season unfolds.
Well, I'll say Petit, you can see the added bulk in the upper body in particular. He is finally, you see that growth. The one guy, Johnny, I'm going to say on Krominhoek, I did not expect to see this. His pass-catching ability this early, thought of him more as a very good blocker is what we saw, an intermediate pass catcher, but is he going to be that guy getting downfield? No, it's probably going to be Josh Follow. Like Greg said, Josh took a big hit last week, hasn't done much. But Krominhoek, really, I don't see anything lacking through 1 week of what we've seen. This guy can be a guy who can catch the football, and he's a pretty big guy. I've been very impressed with Eric so far.
Yeah, really one of the surprises of the incoming freshman, I think you'd have to say for sure. You know, like you said, they signed two tight ends in the most recent class, and Follow was really the guy the more heralded of the two. Real, you know, fixture on the 7-on-7 circuit. Everybody saw him make some of these circus catches over, you know, in the off season every year. And Kromenhoek in his offense up in high school didn't get the chance to really catch passes as much as Follow did. But yeah, we're seeing something from him that none of us expected. And what's great, it's like you said, he can do a little of everything because he can block so well too. So he's really a guy who's jumped out for the future to keep your eye on. And then one other, I think for this group, really one of the keys is going to be Imator Bebe, yeah, to see how he comes back from the injury and when. Today, Helton said that the hope is that he'll be back in time for the mock game, which is 2 weeks before the season, because he has a chance to really, you know, light up the stat sheet. We saw it at the end of last season. He was really starting to come on, brings a whole new dimension to the group. We've got other guys now that we're seeing who can contribute. Angeline has really looked great in practice, but he's the kind of the go-to guy kind of behind Burnett, I think, early on. So whether or not he comes back or when, you know, is going to make a big impact on the early portion of the season, I think.
Just a couple of quick thoughts, guys, on Kromenhoek. For those of you that are really senior citizens like myself, I mean really senior citizens, when I saw Kromenhoek, the way he caught the ball and the way he blocks, if you remember, they're going to honor the 67 national championship team at Salute to Troy. And those of you that are old enough to remember the players, the tight ends they had was Bob Klein and Bob Miller. And they were like farm boy, tough, big, strapping, 6'5", well, in those days, 235, 245.
Right.
But Kromenhoek is exactly that type of player. John McKay would have loved this guy, would have just loved him. And I can't agree with you more with Matabebe. He was such a dynamic force. I remember at the Washington, against Washington, in a tremendous home field advantage for Washington, just played lights out. As soon as he can come back, it's going to be a great, great catch.
No, I think that is a good point. For all the depth, like you mentioned, Johnny, for all everything else, let's remember there is one of those guys who is a step above and has a chance to do some really special things this year. But to the point, this is going to be a very good tight end group. So that's our thoughts after week one of USC fall camp. For Greg Katz and Johnny Curran, this is Gary Pasquitz. You're listening to We Are SC.